it's good to be with you this evening, and good to be have the opportunity to share God's word with you. I think I should say, because I forgot to do so this morning, for which I apologise, that I was only here last night, but the music festival that was really great. And last night was a great night, and people were saying that the other two nights were even better. So I just want to say, is he nipped out to the loo? A huge thank you to Rob. Oh, there you are. Sorry. Yeah. It's the red camouflage into the salmon carpet, whatever I meant to call it. But a huge thank you to Rob and others who facilitated it. I think Tim Berry was doing the sound tonight. Had a lot to do with the sound over the three nights, and others. The performers, some of which are here tonight, were great as well. And it was great to see different faces in the life of the church. People invited their work colleagues come hear them sing, for instance, and people like that. So it was a really great evening, the evening I was here for, and the reports are the other two were really good as well. So thank you very much for all of that organising, Rob. We appreciate that greatly. I'm speaking tonight from the book of Haggai and chapter 2. And if you've got a Bible, you may want to turn to that. There are some dots around the church. There is, however, the words on the screen, as is a usual practice, and you'll see them behind me. So just a few verses then from the second chapter of the prophet Haggai. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Let's pray together, shall we? And so, Father, we once again thank you for your word, and we pray that it might be to us tonight an encouragement and a source of peace and of strength to us who are seeking to follow you and to walk in your ways. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's not often that I have preached from the prophet Haggai, but it is a cool little book. It's worth reading through at another time such as this, or during the sermon if you're bored this evening. Haggai sits with Ezra and Nehemiah and those kind of restorationist books of the Old Testament, which are all about God's rebuilding of the nation of Israel. And their kind of restoration after they've been in exile, and particularly Haggai, Nehemiah as well, but Haggai is particularly concerned with the restoration of the temple and the rebuilding of the temple, which was for the people a sign of the presence of God that remained with them. They've been away from the temple, been away from the chosen land for a long while. They've had to process what it means to be the chosen people in the chosen land and not living there. And is God with us anymore, etc. All those kind of questions. And now they're back in the place that has been promised to them, and they're rebuilding the temple. And This is a big job, and the people can easily become discouraged. You had completed your building project before I got here, but I just wonder when there were times when we were building the Jeff Green Memorial Hall or whatever it is, I wonder whether there were times when you thought, is this really all worth it? Maybe not. You know, times when he opened the crate on a Sunday morning and got all the stuff that was locked away out again and put it away again. Did you think, really? I hope this is worth it. And here in the text, the Lord says to the people of Israel, verse 5, particularly focusing on tonight, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And it's as though the Lord is saying to his people, it's all right, I've got this. Don't worry. It's okay, I'm here. It's a wonderful blessing, isn't it, to know that somebody is alongside you, walking with you, sitting with you, when things are tough. We're relational beings, aren't we? That's how we're created. We're built for relationship. And there's something precious, isn't there, about knowing that we're not alone. And that's what God wants people to know as well. Not just intellectually as a fact to be understood, but as an experiential reality. We're not on our own. The Lord is with us. The Lord is present. The Lord is here and his spirit is with us. I remember a time, you know, years ago when I was younger, my grandmother had been burgled in her house, and she wasn't harmed by it, but she was, you know, understandably shaken up. She was a widow, lived on her own, and was in her 80s, I think, by then. And, you know, although the locksmith came and redid the locks, and she was more secure after the burglary than she was beforehand, physically, just like any of us, I'm sure, or many of us, she wanted to know the comfort of somebody being there all night. Quite, you know, reasonable, isn't it? Did they do anything? It was my dad that went. Would he have, you know, helped if another burglar came? Not at all. He would have, you know, run down the street probably in fear. But it's just that comfort of knowing somebody present in the tough time. And so where the people need strength, and when the people need encouragement, and when the people need to know that they're not on their own, that sense comes from the Spirit of God. He is the one who ministers strength to us in our inner being. He ministers comfort. He imparts courage for the task. He grants energy and drive when we need it. It is the work and ministry of the Spirit that assures us deep within, both in our head and in our heart, our experience that God is here. It's the ministry of the Spirit. And it always has been, always will be. It's the ministry of the Spirit that brings the presence of God to us as a reality. And that is still true, that God is here when everything's going well or when it isn't. Now, this verse, the whole of verse 5, this is what I covenanted with you when you came up out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. What on earth have they got to do together? Well, what's happening is that the writer is picking up a theme of interpretation that runs through Nehemiah and Isaiah, other prophecies as well, where the presence of God is linked to God's covenant promise made with the people of Israel at the foot of Sinai. And if you want a reminder of that, what happened is that the people were waiting at the bottom of the mountain. Moses had gone up the mountain to get the law, receive instructions from God, and the people got impatient and they were fed up of waiting. And so in direct contravention of God's command that he'd spoken just minutes before, the people say, I know what we'll do. We'll make a golden calf. That will help us remember who God is and remember Moses and his call. That will, we'll stick that up in front of us, and that will always help us to remember what we're about. just after they've been told to make no other gods before the Lord. And the law was taking a long time to pull through, and the people wanted God to hurry up. So instead of God's angry judgment on the people, despite their turning away from him, what does God do in that narrative? He promises his presence with them wherever they go. My presence will be with you. My presence will go ahead of you. Haggai is trying to remind the people that would have remembered that story. They would have had that fully in their consciousness. He's saying, you know, even when we mess it up, even when it goes wrong, even when we go off-piste, God's presence endures. It is covenanted. It is promised. It resides with the people forever. God is present with the people even after their rebellion. So even when things have been messed up and you think, oh, I've screwed up, how on earth will God use me ever again? His presence remains by his Spirit. Even when the people of the Lord make mistakes, the presence of the Lord remains by his Spirit. He is always there. Even when the task is hard, when there is somebody that needs to say to us, no, keep going, it will be okay, it is the Lord who does that. When we are isolated and alone and afraid, and we need the consolation of one who is nearby, whose presence alone is our comfort, it is the Lord who provides that by his Spirit. His Spirit remains among you. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Secondly, be cautious of comparison. It is tempting to think back to the good old days, or at least it's tempting if I'm as old as most of you, and remember the time when everything was perfect. So you will miss me, really, I promise. The glory days. And kids were beaten with the cane. There was ice on the inside of the window in winter, and the toilet was at the end of the garden. Yes, those good old days when all was well. Of course, I don't remember anything like that. But so the people here building a new temple end up comparing what has been in the past to what there is now. The old temple and the new one. If only we could have the old temple, I like that. I like the old temple. You know, if only we could have the old one, I knew where my place was in that. If only if we could have the old one, I really liked the way the blood had spattered up the wall at the sacrifice bit. Oh, I love the brickwork of the old temple, that smell of, and of all sorts of things. Oh, if we could only have the old one. And maybe in times of transition, probably, anyway, in times of transition, there is a danger of slipping into comparison. That happens in every aspect of life. Yeah, we have a new office at work. Oh, I like the old one. I'm now in a new wing. I've much preferred the parking space round the corner. You have a new staff room. Well, I quite like the old one. It was much better. I knew where my place was then. It was it wasn't as cold as this. You have a new boss, new head teacher. Well, I like the way the old one, you know, blah, 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 blah. We're always invited into this kind of warped nostalgia from what is past. And there's a danger of the people of the Lord slipping into that as well. And it's important to remember, you know, in the context of me, this being the last time that I speak to you for the foreseeable future, your next minister is very different to me in lots of ways. And that should be a cause for rejoicing. He's Scottish, for one thing. But things will change. It's highly likely that things will change. Highly likely. I don't have any secret insight or knowledge, but it's quite possible that things will change. It's interesting, I've been asked today to submit any choice of songs for my induction service in Plymouth. And this kind of undertone in the message was, P.S., please don't take us back to the old days, you know. In other words, we sing quite up-to-date songs. Will you please make sure you continue that? We don't want to go back to what has been. So I'm, you know. Anyway, ironically, I said, well, this morning we sang this. Oh, we don't do any of those. don't hanker for what has been. What has been is yesterday's blessing. It may well have been good. It ought to be honoured. You know, that which God has done in the past, we celebrate and we're thankful for. God's faithfulness in the past, we celebrate and we give thanks for. But we're not to live in what has been. That was the blessing of the Spirit for yesterday. It was for then. Discern what the Spirit is up to today and join in with that. That's what you're to do. Don't compare with a critical attitude the things that have been and gone with the things of today and complain. Enjoy and embrace what God has for you in this season. His mercies are new every morning. They do not grow stale. Enjoy what the Spirit wants to bring today and in future days. And embrace it. With most of these things, that will be an act of the will. Sometimes that will be easy to do. Sometimes you will do it with gritted teeth. It will be my experience too, in a new place. Some things I think, wow, this is so different and fresh. I love it. And some things I know, because I know exactly what I'm like. I'm preaching this to you and, you know, 6 weeks' time, I'll be sat in evening service at Plymouth Central Hall going, we did it so much better in Littlover. You just wait until I know what I'm like. Oh, if only we could have had this, you know. Blah, 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 blah. At least at Littlover, the stewards used to give me ice cold water. You know, that sort of thing. And but we need to embrace and live in what the Spirit is doing today. Today. And then lastly, they're building this temple. The Spirit encourages them and etc. But, you know, the temple will only be anything special because of who resides in it. I don't know how many of you have been to Barcelona and been in the Sagrada Familia. I've not travelled extensively. This is the most striking building I've ever set foot in. It's a phenomenal piece of art. I'm not even somebody that gets, you know, wowed at architecture, but it is phenomenal. The stone masonry, the craftsmanship. It's Gaudi's thing. I think it's just been completed. It's taken years and years to do. He designs, you see it a little bit in that image, but not greatly. Every window and every colour in the glass is specifically designed to capture all the different colours that shine through when the sunlight hits on it. And so walking around this building, there's not only this incredibly intricate stone masonry and everything kind of draws you up, but there is the most incredible beams of colour that are just moving all over the place. And I remember walking around that building and just sensing the presence of God, the architecture, the glass lighting, this stunning building. I remember walking around it just inwardly praising God, speaking in tongues even, quietly, in case I accidentally said something rude in Hebrew or something. But because it was just this majestic place and I was caught up in wonder and majesty at it. And then this week, some of you will know that I've been on Holy Island, on Lindisfarne. A wonderful place. And I sat in this simple prayer room, probably, chapel maybe, which is the old post office. And nothing remarkable about it, just some plastered and painted walls and cross at the front, and, you know, rows of about 15, 16 chairs. Or the chapel at Thaldebrunnen, which is, you know, got nothing special really, just a nice little curved room and a bit of a rock in the middle, and a sort of a table. Or the Bath and West Showground, where Soul Survivor and New Wine have been held in the past. Simple places, and of course you could all shout out your own, where the places themselves are remarkably simple. And they're not spectacular, like a great cathedral. But what makes them special is not the geography, not the building, not the craftsmanship, not the location, but it is who or whom has chosen to make his home there. How does he make his home there? It is by his Spirit. God manifests his presence with us by the Holy Spirit. And so we see through the arc of Scripture that the kind of broadening of the Spirit's role, originally with on specific people, usually leaders, not always, but specific people for specific tasks, almost as though they represented the community. Then we have Moses, whose hope is that all of God's people would be touched by the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God would be poured out upon all flesh. Moses' hope being embodied in Joel's prophetic expectation that the Lord would pour out his Spirit in these last days. And then Jesus talking about the Spirit being the bearer of the presence of God. You know, the new temple that the people of Haggai's day are building will only be a temple if the Lord shows up. Otherwise, it'll just be a nice building. Will only be a temple if the Lord shows up. Unless the Lord builds the house, the psalmist said, the laborers labor in vain. So then in our planning and in our strategizing, in our arrangements, we can have the great ideas, the great plans. But unless the Lord breathes on them, they're just that, ideas and plans and concepts. And there's a need for the Lord to breathe on those things and transform them for his glory. And in a similar vein too, as I head into land, in a moment we will be sharing bread and wine together. It is, I don't mean this in any crude or inappropriate manner, in many ways the bread and the wine themselves are largely meaningless. Just a bit of bread, just a bit of juice, which usually says, used to say on the bottle, not fit for human consumption. Seriously, it did. But, you know, it's just a little bit. It's not even enough to fill you up, is it? Not even enough to quench your thirst. Not even a shot glass full of wine. Largely cold things. Unless the Lord transforms it. Not that we believe in transubstantiation, the physical changing of this bread and wine literally and physically into the body and blood of Jesus. We don't believe that in our tradition on the whole. But we do believe that as we invoke the power of the Spirit upon them, those things become spiritually, symbolically for us, God's food and drink for our souls, transformed, ordinary things transformed again. By what? The presence and power of the Spirit, who comes to encourage us and strengthen us, comes to sustain us in order that we might live in the now, comes to make his home in greater measure, not just in a building, but in the temple of our hearts and the temple of our lives.